Now, one of my favorite stories in the Bible is found in Luke chapter 24, I think from verse 13. And the setting is Jesus has resurrected, and there are two of his disciples that are journeying to a village. And they're talking amongst themselves, and they're just contemplating about what happened and what they've heard. And there's a bit of confusion and a bit of doubt lingering about whether has this actually happened. And Jesus then, resurrected, joins them, although they don't see that it's Jesus. And he asks them, what happened? They're busy relating to him. No, there was this figure. We thought he was the prophet, and he was going to be great in Israel. He was going to deliver us and save us. He was delivered to be killed. He was crucified. And now we're hearing that he rose from the dead, as there's a report that they can't find him in the tomb. The tomb is empty. Now, Jesus then takes time, pulls them aside and says, shows them the entire scripture from Moses all the way across the prophets to show that everything that happened had to happen as prophesied from Moses all the way to the prophets. And every bit of the prophecies showing them across the Old Testament, that everything then was pointing to him and this time. I enjoy this scripture because it really speaks true to what this season of Jesus Revealed is all about, in that Jesus has been prophesied. Jesus has been seen as a type. Jesus had been seen as a shadow from the beginning, from Genesis all the way through to the book of Revelations. And that is what we are here for. So a big hello. Welcome everyone to season 3 of Jesus Revealed. My name is Zintle, and I'm happy to come back again for season 3. As I have outlaid what this season is all about, I'm quite excited for us to really pick into scripture, and we'll be following it quite chronologically from the beginning all the way to the end. So what you are about to see is going to be 40 episodes where we cover 66 books. 66 books. So it's going to be exciting. I pray that this journey will be one that really, really increases our love for scripture, increases our love for Christ as found in the scriptures, and just leads us in this time to those that are fasting these 40 days as we are heading towards our Easter celebrations, that again, it increases our love and reverence for our Lord. And today, because it is day one, we will start from the beginning, and it's no better person to have than Pastor A, our lead pastor here at Brakpan. Hope I said that correctly.
Yes, you did.
Thank you very much. Pastor A, welcome. And yeah, thank you. Thank you for season 3 again.
No, here we are. Awesome, awesome. And it's so good to be with you, Zintle. Good to start this journey again. It's our third season.
It is.
It's 3 years in a row. Three years of us going on this 40 days of prayer and fasting.
Indeed.
And 3 years of us just, you know, committing ourselves. To unpacking who Jesus is.
And we're
walking this journey together until Easter weekend. Mm-hmm. So it's a powerful and it's a wonderful time. And I thank you for again hosting us and taking us through. And I know each and every person that will be seated in this chair, that will be coming to speak on Jesus as represented throughout the whole of the Bible. We'll just encourage our faith, and they will build us going forward.
I'm quite excited, Pastor A. Awesome. So without any further waste of time, so in the book of Genesis, our title for this episode is Jesus is the Breath of Life. Obviously, that's not all that we see in the book of Genesis. So there's a lot of types and shadows and even prophecies that we are seeing concerning Jesus. But we're going to be looking at, I think our reference scripture here is Genesis 2:7. But just also as a supplementary, as a pointer to the New Testament, there's John chapter 1 from verse 1 to 3. But I think before we get into the actual detail of our title, Pastor A, maybe if you can just give us an overview of the book of Genesis and how it connects to the rest of the Bible.
Okay, so when we speak of the book of Genesis, I think most biblical teachers, and if you do your Bible studies and all these things, will tell you it's viewed as the seedbed of scripture.
Okay.
So it's just not just the book of beginnings, because lots of times people will say it's the book of the beginnings. It's where we start off with the Bible canonically. Yeah. You know, it starts in Genesis, it ends off in Revelation, and then there's 64 other books in between.
Yeah.
So when we look at Genesis specifically, it's the seedbed of the entire Bible. Everything that blossoms throughout the Bible, everything that blossoms throughout Scripture, everything that blossoms and comes to fulfillment, as you said, when Jesus points to himself, that all that has been written, whether it's the law, whether it's historical books, whether it's the prophetic books, the wisdom books, whether it's even the gospels and what will be the epistles later, after, you know, he ascends into heaven, all of that blossoms throughout the, you know, and all of that shows who God is.
Yeah.
So when we look at Genesis specifically, it provides for us the historical framework. The historical framework of creation, number one, that's where we start off.
Yeah.
It provides for us the historical framework of humanity. It provides for us the historical framework within the scripture, as well as the fall of man, and then the redemptive arc that the whole of the Bible then takes. So from Genesis chapter 1 up until Genesis chapter 11, it's all of that. It's history. It's the creation story.
Mm.
It's, you know, humanity coming in there. Then from chapter 12, when we see the introduction of Abraham, now we see the arc of redemption.
Yeah.
Now we see the redemptive story of the Bible taking shape. When we speak of specific things, we said creation. We speak of the call of Abraham.
Yeah.
We speak of the formation of the nation. That would one day birth the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
We speak of prophecies and types and shadows that you said, but also, most importantly, of the prophecies and the types and shadows of who we speak of now is Jesus the Christ.
Yeah.
In Genesis chapter 3 and 15, we have what we call the proto-evangelium, which is the prototype of the gospel.
Sure.
The prototype of the gospel in terms of what it means for you and I to preach the gospel.
Yeah,
the prototype of the gospel, which is the prototype of the good news.
Okay.
Here we see the first gospel message. God speaks to, you know, the seed of the woman and says he will crush the head of the serpent.
Yeah.
It points to, again, the virgin birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
His coming to earth, him being incarnated, you know, being God incarnate, representing to us who God is. And then also representing who man should be before God. So you have that going on in that script, specific scripture, which is Genesis 3 and 15. And then it also points towards, in that scripture, the victory on the cross.
Yeah.
And the victory on the cross that he would bring for each and every one of us. We see Jesus in Adam.
Mm-hmm.
He's the first head of humanity. We see Jesus in Abel. He's the righteous sacrifice.
Yes.
We see Jesus in Joseph. You know, the rejected brother becomes the savior of the world.
Yeah.
We see Jesus in Melchizedek, in terms of him being, you know, the high priest of it all. We see Jesus in everything. Even if you look at him being at the Genesis chapter 1, where we hear God says, let us make man in our image. He's present in the creation story. He's present in everything that would flow from the book of Genesis.
Yeah.
So in Genesis, we've got all these beautiful things, covenant coming into play. God making covenant with certain people and then covenant with them beyond them, you know, transcending their generations to come. So again, Genesis is what we call the seedbed of scripture. It's where we see all of what will happen, you know, being laid out for us. And already we are introduced to Jesus, as you said, in that specific scripture, which is Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7.
Yeah, thank you so much, Pastor. And that was that was an incredible introduction. We can actually drop it from here.
I tried.
And be off. No, you did beyond. You did beyond that. I want to then bring us back then to our title of Jesus then being the breath of life. And which is why then I'm also supplementing it with John 1 from verse 1 to 3. You did say that God then says, let us make man in our own image. And I think John and his aim in writing the gospel the way that he did, it almost sounds like he wants to point us back to Genesis chapter 1 in God really using a plural to say, let us. And him emphasizing and saying, in the beginning was a word and the word was with God. But he doesn't just stop there. He said the word was God.
Right. Yes.
But then the word was made flesh as well. So my question then on that then, how then do we see Jesus as this breath of life in the context of Genesis.
I just want to remind you on all of our listeners and those that are watching us. I've been saying it for the last two seasons.
Yeah.
Once you read the Bible, all 66 books of the Bible, one of those important things as a biblical student is to understand that nothing hangs on its own.
Yeah.
There is always a connection to something else. You know, so whether it starts in Genesis or we see it in John chapter 1 and verse 1, or whether it, you know, finds somehow an expression in Habakkuk or in Amos, nothing hangs on its own. The fullness of the scripture is all together. You know, it's complete.
Yeah.
And we see it always echoing back to one another. So in Genesis 2 and 7, the scripture reads, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being." So when we read that, that God breathed into man, we're not just looking at him biologically starting us up as humanity. Yeah. We're looking at what the word is in action. Because John 1 and 3 tells us that without him, nothing was made.
Yeah.
That was made. So Jesus is both the Logos and the Rhema. When we speak of him as the Logos, he's the expression and the power of God. In the Hebrew mindset, in terms of what we read there, the Hebrew mindset, breath, which is ruach, and spirit are linked. It's no different.
Okay.
It's the same thing. Breath and spirit is ruach.
Yeah.
That's the Hebrew word. So Jesus then, in our understanding of him being the breath of life, he is the ultimate life giver.
Sure.
Because he is the source of all existence. I don't think we take Jesus outside of the Godhead.
Yeah.
A very important principle of our theological belief system is the triune God.
Yes.
He's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So we can never divorce him from the triune God. Mm-hmm. We can't divorce God the Father. We can't divorce God the Spirit from him. So we understand that in his fullness as God, he is the source of all existence. He becomes the life giver. He didn't just watch Adam come to life, you know, in terms of him breathing his breath into Adam. But he also has brought to us the eternal Son, which is he himself. So he was the agent through whom the life-giving breath was imparted. So what it also teaches us, you know, in our understanding of who Jesus is and what he does for us, that we know in him is life.
Yeah.
In him is the abundance of life. You know, in him is the fullness of life. In him is the breath of life.
Yeah.
So when he breathes into us, and we understand when the Godhead breathed the breath into us, life into us, we took on the characteristics of God. You know, we took on the personality of God. Not necessarily the personhood of God, because no one can be like God.
Of course. Yeah.
But we took on the personality. We took on the characteristics. We have what he has. Adam had it. Let me rather put it that way. Adam had it, but through the fall of Adam and the sin of Adam and mankind, we now know we are always striving to get back to that.
Amen.
So he's always striving to put us back into his image, always striving to put us back into relationship with him so that we can regain, we can relive, we can, and again, as the Holy Spirit comes upon us, breathe back into us that personality that we lost because of the fall.
Sure. Pastor A, I'm trying to then, maybe I think with all our questions within Jesus Revealed, I'm trying to also link it to our believers that are listening or watching us around just the present time significance of that and that revelation of Christ as that breath of life to the everyday believer and just what does it mean for us as we walk out our faith over these 40 days?
No, that's a good question, because in the context of the text, we also have to constantly ask the question as Bible believers and Bible students and readers of the Bible, how does the context of the text then inform our context?
Yeah.
You know, how does it speak to us? And again, the word of God speaks over many generations. It's not just, you know, one generation, but over many. So when you ask the question of the present time significance, we're speaking specifically about new creation now. And the same breath, now the same breath that was breathed into Adam, that turned dust into a living soul in Genesis chapter 2 and 7, is the same breath that will turn a dead man and a dead woman, a sinner, into a new creation.
Yeah.
It's the same breath. So when we look at it, there's an echo to us in the upper room. In John 20 and verse 22, Jesus breathed on his disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
That's what he said. You know, he breathed on them and said, you are to receive. The daily reality for all of us is, as Jesus breathes the breath of life, you know, we are no longer dependent on our own strength. When you feel exhausted, or when you feel you're being suffocated by the world, when you feel like you're going through difficult times, you feel like, you know, you are stressed out. Remember, we said this is the divine connection. Yes, we're not striving, we are abiding. You know, when you feel like you have no strength left, where do you turn to? You return back to the source. Who is the source?
Yeah.
That breath that was breathed inside of us. So we understand to have Christ is to have the very life in us.
Amen.
To have the very breath of God in us. To have the very breath of heaven being breathed over us.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he's not just a historical figure. And I think that's what lots of people need to understand.
Yes,
yes. Yes, in the New Testament, we get him as an historical figure. What we're trying to do over these next 40 days is to unpack where we see him.
Yeah.
Not just as a historical figure, but we're unpacking where we see him as a historical and spiritual figure to us as his church. So he is not just a historical figure. He is current.
Yeah.
He's the active pulse. I want to put it that way. He's the active pulse of the believer's life.
Mm.
If you're not in him, if his breath is not in you, you don't have the vitality that he gives.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't have the life that he gives. You don't have the joy that he gives. So I want to say it this way to each and every one of us. He makes all things come alive.
Amen.
Because of his breath that he breathes in us.
Amen. I love that. And I love that as a takeaway point, because I think to your point, it's very easy or quick to dismiss so many types and shadows about Christ and even his function as the breath of life as some sort of theoretical concept that we have as believers. And this is not the only concept. And the hope is that over these 40 days, we can really unpack the present time significance, is that we move away from just a theoretical concept of what a breath of life is to something that, for example, within our year of divine connection, where we are about abiding.
In
we him. Abide because there is life being given to us that flows from Christ being the true vine, for example.
Yeah. And again, it's not about just reading that scripture as we read it and leaving it as that.
Of course.
It's saying that if this is what God did in Adam, and if this is what he did through his son, Jesus the Christ, now that I'm in relationship with him, now that I'm walking closer with him, then, you know, I have that access.
Yeah.
I don't have to fight for it. I don't have to toil for it. I don't have to strive for it. He lives in me. His breath, you know, gives life to all.
Yeah.
So everything, every part of my life cannot be kept from him.
Of course.
Has to be given to him.
Yeah.
You know, and every part of my life then will continue on this 40-day march to have his breath in it.
Yeah.
So we should be able to say, breathe over me. We should be able to say, breathe in me. We should be able to say, Lord, let your breath, you know, that breath of life, you know, let it be just, you know, a fountain in my life.
Yeah.
Because where you breathe on me and you breathe, you know, in all of your fullness into my life, I can take that to someone else.
Yes.
Because again, the idea is we are new creatures. And in him, we have the power, we have the might, we have the gift, the ability, the skill to bring others into that relationship as well.
Yeah. Love that, Pastor A. I think we can pin it. Thank you so much, Pastor A, for getting us off to a very, very good start.
Awesome.
And the prayer is that over the next 39 days, we can get Jesus more revealed. Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. The prayer is that our believers will know the word and will see Christ in every piece of scripture across the 66 books. So thank you so much, Pastor A. And thank you to everyone that was listening and watching us from wherever. You can find us on YouTube. It's Salom Brakpan or Salom Word of Truth Brakpan. You can just find us there. You can find us on Facebook as well with the same name as well. Subscribe, like us. Please comment if you do have questions. You never know. We may even just have a bonus content where we just answer some of the questions that you put, as my directors and producers are looking at me in very, very fishy eyes. But we'll see you there. Hopefully there'll be a bonus version. But let's walk this journey. See you in episode 2. God bless you.